You see, over the last year, I've been readying a stunning new project. Introducing From the Oast House, an Audible original podcast recorded largely from my home, a converted Oast House set amid rolling countryside. The series will see me open a portal into my mind and siphon off some of my choicest thoughts, from wit to wisdom, from musings to moanings, and everything in between. You'll hear about my home life, my work life, my love life, and the pond life who criticise me online. And people say, what's it like? Who are you inspired by? Well, I'm inspired not so much by other podcasts, I tend not to listen to those, but the excellence we see all around us. A dog leaping to catch a stick. A ballerina doing brilliant ballet. A forklift truck driver steering one-handed while smoking. Therein is life for all to see. It's a piece of content I'm proud of. From the Oast House will be released on the 3rd of September, but you can pre-order, which means the same thing as order, the whole series by going to audible.co.uk now. But how will I know if I like it? Well, after taking advice, poring over government guidelines and concluding that COVID-19 cannot be transmitted through smart speakers or earphones, I've decided to give one episode to you, here, now, free of charge. If my podcast series is a wheel of cheese, this episode is the free cube of cheese they place in a plastic punnet on the counter for you to sample. Pop it in your ears, the podcast, not the cheese cube, and see if you want more of it. I believe some of you will. The people who enjoy Alan Partridge will enjoy this podcast. The people who've never got it still won't get it. Keep safe. Excuse me. Excuse me, your dog's taken my dog's stick. Can you tell him to put it down? Cheers. And I know there's loads of sticks, it's just that that was his one. And if there's loads of them, you can get another one, can't you? I said if there's loads of them, you can get another one, can't you? Dick. Go on, catch. Did you know that there are dry stone walls in Cornwall that are over 7,000 years old? Did you know that the British magpie population has quadrupled in recent years? Did you know that most badgers don't carry TB? Did you know that under an old bylaw, if you cut down an oak tree on private land, you can still be hanged for it? I did, because I love the countryside. My name's Alan Partridge, and this is my podcast from the Oast House. I'm Alan Partridge. This is my podcast, The Oast House. Although today you might think I should be Alan Partridge far from the Oast House, because as you may be able to hear, I'm outside doing one of the things I like most. I'm rambling. I don't mean talking incessantly. With no focus, I'm not, I was going to say Lorraine Kelly, but she's not a rambler, she's a witterer, and it's a slightly different thing. No, I mean in traversing the land to enjoy and ingest nature. I do so love to walk, and this will come as a surprise to many because of my well-known passion for the concept of vehicles, and my well-known hatred of bikes and people on bikes. Not all bikes, I hasten to add. I should point out I'm a big fan of bobbies on bicycles. And I even have a vintage push bike with a basket and a bell myself. I've been known to tuck my trousers in my socks, ride into the village and bring, bring at my wife's friend, or bring, bring the chap who works in the garage, or if I see the neighbour who complained about me idling my car engine in the morning, I'll ride up behind him silently, then bring, bring, morning, Graham, right in his ear. Now, when I say cyclists, I'm talking about the non-locals who descend on Norfolk every weekend like brightly coloured locusts, because I think any right-minded person feels a wave of revulsion when they see a bunch of 50-year-old cyclists standing outside a shop. It's a ridiculous sight. Middle-aged, skinny men with a bit of a paunch, clad in lycra, so they look like retired superheroes who can't find their capes. And the newsagent doesn't know what's going on. 5 minutes ago, he was selling
a local farmer a packet of tobacco. Now they're selling high-end protein bars to men who look awful. Wear ordinary clothes to ride. What aerodynamic benefit do they think they're getting wobbling up a hill at 6 miles an hour? The entire enterprise is mindless. If the objective was to get somewhere quickly, you'd drive. This episode is a live, real-time ramble, so it might not be as refined as it is in the house. That's part of the fun. I'm in my wellies, which, when you're in the countryside, is the chiropodal or pedal equivalent of a Range Rover. It means I can go where it's boggy, and you can't do that in a pair of shawls. Let's go this way. And this is the beauty of podcasting, the freedom of the medium. You know, could I do this with a radio show? Not on your Nelly. With podcasting, it's just you and a mic. If it was a radio show, we'd be casting around two microphones, a mixing desk with jingles and adverts, a telephone switchboard, then there'd be me, some sort of sidekick, the guy with a degree who reads the news, a producer, an assistant producer, whatever that is, and then the woman from the sales team who keeps coming in every 5 minutes to say, don't forget to mention the weather, sponsored by Millet. Oh, Jesus Christ! Ah! Oh, Christ! It's all right, I'm fine. That's the great thing about the countryside. You can fall over, it doesn't matter. It occurred to me, actually, when I was on one of these walks, that you can compare radio stations to infantry because they're ordered but slow-moving, whereas a podcast is more akin to special forces. Light and agile with minimal kit. You get in, get it done, and get out. And just as radio stations have their own Geneva Convention in the form of Ofcom regulations, with podcasting and special forces is more of a grey area. You can do what you want. As long as bad people die, or you maintain the people's interest, you can ride roughshod over human rights or ignore Ofcom. And that's as it should be. The Norfolk countryside is very much part of my life. It's who I am. The footpaths are my arteries, the trees are my bones. The open space is my lungs. The grass is my hair, the canals, the ponds, my bladder, my bowel. And I wouldn't be painting a full and accurate picture of myself if I didn't share my love of the countryside with you. That's why I'm outside. And also a chap from Rentacle is fumigating the house to kill some mice. It's sad to think that where once a child would be playing on a tyre here, now they're at home in their bedrooms playing Call of Duty or looking at porn. And whilst it means that there's no chance of them falling into a gravel pit like they used to, it still means they're looking at porn. Come on! Trees are my porn. I bloody love them. And why not show this place off? It's just because it's local and every day doesn't mean it's not thrilling. I mean, look around, for crying out loud. Honestly, people are so dazzled, aren't they, by the exotic. Be it a bird of paradise, a coral reef, a brightly coloured tree frog, a topless mum in a tribe. But what about what's right in front of you? And bear in mind, this is on my own doorstep. It's funny, when friends of mine come to the Oast House, they say, it's quite small, isn't it? How come it costs you so much? I just point out the window and say, are you blind? That doesn't come cheap. Look at what your house backs onto, a primary school. Mine backs onto that. And they say, oh, I like the sound of children playing. And I just shoot straight back with a chuckle. You're a liar. What's your problem? Why does it cause you so much pain to admit to the unremarkable fact that I have a better house than you? If you want to say something nasty, chuckle it out. They can't take offence. And then you can just knife them. I did that with my ex-wife. Don't you go to the gym anymore? You know, things like that.
Alan Partridge from the Oast House. From the Oast House. With Alan Partridge.
I walk for inspiration. I was on this very squelchy footpath a year ago that I came up with a Hollywood film idea. It's called Gethsemane, with Liam Neeson. No idea what the story is yet. I can address that once interest firms up. The poster could be Neeson wearing a biblical robe, looking pensive. In his left hand, he has a pair of rosary beads, and in his right hand, a Glock 9 composite compact firearm. Here's another film idea I had. Bruce Willis is an architect. He sat on a high stool, drawing something architectural on one of those slanted desks. An owl hoots. Cut to him driving in the rain. The wipers are going billy-o. Vit-vit-vit-vit-vit-vit. Suddenly, a woman staggers from the woods in front of him. He slams on the anchors. Her clothes are torn. "Please help me," she says. "Somebody tried to rape me." Willis puts a blanket round her shoulders. She could be played by Halle Berry. Or failing that, you know, Queen Latifah. In which case, we'll need a bigger blanket. And I'm not sure what would happen, but clearly there's a seed of something quite special there. It just needs some investment. And, you know, but it's a good idea. It's a really good idea. To psych myself up for a big walk, what I might do is head to a camping shop and ask the assistant, for example, what tog figure is on various fleeces. And if he comes back in a flash and reels off something about a triclimate Gore-Tex with duck down, then I know this guy's worth talking to. But if I ask how good is that at wicking away sweat, what's the wickage of this thing, and he looks startled by me using the word wick, or he says, "What, you mean wick like a candle?" Or if he says, "Oh, I'll just go and find out," then I'll let him wander off. He can wander back if he likes, but I won't be there. I'll be long gone. Either that or I'll be leafing through the fat socks. Buy a couple of pairs. Chuck them in the drawer when I get home. Love it. Just walking over here, this wildflower, native to Norfolk, much like myself, is known as hoary mullen. And now that's nothing to do with Jackie Mullen, who used to drink in the Boxley Wheat Sheaf. That was just her nickname because she did sports massage. Didn't come from me, came from a jovial chap who sits by himself in the local pub. Very affable fellow. Although sometimes you walk past, you can see him alone in there, staring out of the window, sadly. As soon as you pop in, he's all puns and funny voices again. I think to myself, cheer up, it might never happen, but maybe it has happened. You know, when you see someone grumpy, you need to think, what if his wife died suddenly one Christmas? I mean, we've no idea. What if he was in the Falklands and he had to smother a dog who was about to give away his location? We've no idea. Perhaps he once saw a boy fall down a well. And he told the boy to recite nursery rhymes with him while they waited for the fire brigade, so that he knew he was still conscious. You know, but then the nursery rhymes ground to a halt, and he's saying, "Three bags what? Full! Say full! Say full! Please say full!" So, you know, we've no idea. What a sight this is. A field replete with Frisian cows. Such sad-eyed, docile bovines. I often stand here and share my thoughts with them. Tell them about my film ideas. Share a poem if I've written one. The best way to summon them is to moo. Sorry, that sounded like someone revving a bike. If you get the tone right, you can often instigate a call and response. You moo, they moo, you moo, they moo. You moo. Morning, morning. No, just trying to get these cows to moo. Lovely morning. Would you like to hear a quick poem called Autumn Leaves? These cows don't seem interested. No, it's one I've written. It's called Autumn Leaves. Great, great. Autumn leaves. How sad the falling of leaves of autumn. How melancholic the passing autumn half twixt summer and winter. How melancholic the brown sludge of fallen autumn leaves. Gone the crunch underfoot, now the squelch of rain-sodden brown. How sad, how triste. This season twixt summer, not yet winter. And yet it is not bleak like the midwinter. It is not unforgiving. So let us stay a while here, replete in the clemency of autumn. Swaddled in coat, but not too big. Replete in jumper, chunky socks. My hair grows longer now. Warm strands of my lower hair to keep warm my neck. Heck, it's cold. But now winter comes and autumn leaves. Okay, thanks. Bye now. Well, that went well. Got a very firm thumbs up from her, which is nice. Anyway, I have to say, people often mock ramblers. I mean, it's hardly survivalism. Although I did once tell Bear Grylls that if he ever got stung by a nettle, as a balm, a sort of anaesthetic, he could use a squished-up dock leaf. He said, yeah, no, but I don't think he did. Bear Grylls and other ex-members of the SAS often scoff at ramblers, but they're not so different. I mean, ramblers reward themselves at the end of a long hike with a flask of tea and a chocolate bar, and the SAS reward themselves at the end of a long hike by, you know, taking the life of an Afghan man in a cave. But one thing remains constant. At the end of a long hike, everyone needs a reward. And my reward is or are the trees. Food is always important. And don't just prepare for the things you think you will need on the walk. Plan for the unplanned eventuality. Be prepared, as they say in the Scouts. Adapt or die, as they say in the Marines. And to that end, when I go out, I always pack loads of food in my clothing. I stash food in every orifice of my garments. Because if I were to fall down a ravine and lose the use of both arms, I know that with my mouth I could unzip my left shoulder pocket and eat a cheese triangle. And for afters, I could eat two chocolate tracker bars from my right shoulder. If I lean forward, I could drink some orange squash from my thigh. Similarly, if I lie on my back and unzip the toggle from my knee pocket, then lift my legs in the air, two penguins should slide out. Come on!
That didn't work. Still wet back now.
Alan Partridge from the Oast House, from the Oast House.
There's a few cottages here. They tend to be weekend bolt holes for wealthy Londoners, so you can, during the week, you can peep in to the window and not worry about being shouted at. Always very interesting to have a look in through the window. It's like a game. You can sort of look at what they've got inside and try and figure out who they are and, you know, what the story is. There's always a story behind, I can see two sets of boots. That definitely looks like a man's welly, with a welly with an E. And some small ones. So I know straight away a child comes here. Doesn't look like there are any women's size wellies, so I'm assuming he's divorced. And has the child occasionally, I'm guessing every other weekend. Let's have a look over here. Right, this is the sort of sitting room come lounge. Bookshelf, let's have a look. I can see an SAS book on extreme survival. He's got the Diary of Samuel Pepys, Diary of Alan Clark, Bill Bryson, Bill Oddie. I mean, the guy's obviously got a brain. And what's she got? Let's have a look. Well, there's three Jilly Cooper books. That's not a good sign. No wonder she left him. I imagine she was quite demanding. Why can't you whisk me off my feet at a polo tournament? Why can't you ravish me in a stable and run your own business instead of working in the public sector and going on about Adrian's Wall? Yeah, it's quite clear he wanted to educate himself, whereas she wanted a lifestyle. He likes knowledge. She likes things. And yet he probably only stays with his dad every other weekend. So,
So what's that? That's 2 days out of every 14. So that's 15% of the time he's being given insight into history, geography, ornithology, while at least 85% of the time the poor kid's having his brain addled with stories of sexy show jumpers who can't choose between the lord who gives her money and the stable hand who ravishes her in the barn. I mean, God help the poor kid. Just coming round to the kitchen, have a look.
Yeah, there's the dog basket. Yeah, because I'll probably take the dog when they come down at the weekend.
It looks like some takeaway boxes stacked in the bin. Remnants of an Indian curry poking out. That's pretty much confirmation it's a divorced man. Don't know where there's a curry house around here, though.
You've got to go a good four miles before you find a curry house.
You've got to be pretty desperate to drive that far there and back instead of just rustling up something yourself. I mean, bloody hell, spag bol, mac and cheese, fried egg sandwich. He's obviously not in a good place.
I hope he's washing himself.
Well, here's the garage that adjoins the house. I'm always curious about how people use their garage, whether they use it for a car or just as a receptacle for any kind of odds and ends. Just try the door. Open. Oh, curious. Just have a little nosy. Can't do any harm. Look like it's alarmed. So, yeah. It's fascinating. It's got a... under a dust sheet. Let's see what it is. It's a Honda Civic, 2001. They get the train down at the weekend. They use the Civic to run around.
Yeah.
It's great being a sort of amateur sleuth. Deflated Lilo. Some leaves have blown in. Bike there, check the tyres. Flat. Of course they are. He bought that when he thought he was going to get fit again after his marriage fell apart, thought he could win her back. And then, like the tyres, the air went out of the idea. So shit, shit. Someone's coming.
Hello?
Oh, all right, then. Hello. Hi. Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm not...
What are you doing?
I was just looking at your car and your house and then I panicked.
You were looking at my house?
I was just peeping. I'm not a peeping Tom, just a peeping man. I was being a bit nosy. I live over these... I'm Alan Partridge, by the way.
Yeah, I know you are.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I was actually checking when I was walking past the house on the public footpath. I came past and noticed the door was ajar. So now I was just checking, and cause I thought it was a security risk, but I'll be on my way.
Yes, if you would, yeah.
Right. Let me ask you a quick question. Are you divorced?
Yes.
Great, good.
Want to go?
Yes. Shall I go out the garage door or the rear door?
Whichever way you came in.
This way. Okay. Bye. Thank you. Sorry about trespassing. Sorry, I trumped. I should probably turn back, actually. Not that it's a dodgy area, it's not backward or anything, it's actually quite upmarket. Less deliverance, more deliveroo. Gotta do stand-up. I mean, there's a point in when you go on a ramble where you think, I've had enough of nature. It's starting to get on my nerves. Sometimes if I'm really fed up, I'll just go around kicking the heads off flowers. Wild ones. I would never kick the heads off some beautiful garden roses, but if I see a little group of daffodils or snowdrops, yeah, I'll kick the heads off if I'm in a mood. Lynn, I've been on a long walk and I want you to come and get me. Can you come and get me? Lynn, I need you to come and get me. Where am I? Do you remember where you got stuck in a bog and we had to lasso you with a rope and we pulled you out of your wellies and you got upset about leaving them because they belonged to your mum? Yeah, there. I'm there. It doesn't matter what the conditions are. You've been driving for over 30 years, Lynn. If the car skids, what do? Take your feet off the pedals and steer. If the back end comes out, turn into the skid. And if you can keep your foot on the throttle, you should be able to power slide sideways around the bend. straighten up the wheel, ease off the gas, and you should straighten up. But for God's sake, don't overcorrect. If you do that, the tail will swing back the other way and you'll go into a tailspin, in which case you've already lost control. If that happens, take your feet off the pedals, disengage from all the controls and just wait for the car to come to a complete halt. Or if you're travelling at speed, tuck your hands under your armpit, put your head against the headrest and wait for impact. A critical impact is a mathematical certainty, so come to terms with that quickly. You will have time. Well, I know it'll be quick, but it won't seem quick because time slows down in a catastrophic collision. Oh, Christ, I can't believe that. Of course you're going to be upset. If the car's still upright, exit the vehicle. If the car's upside down, listen to me. Just release the seatbelt carefully and lower yourself onto the roof, which is now the floor. Crawl across it, beware of broken glass, and there will be broken glass. Yes, there'll be lacerations, but far better to have lacerations to your arms and hands than a spinal injury from compression because you released the seatbelt and went thump onto your head. You can always bandage your hands. Lynn, it's fine. It'll be like having teddy bear hands for a month. You just won't be able to open your Murray Mints. No, I'll just line them up on a shelf and you can go over and suck them off as and when. Now come and get me, quick as you like. What I'm going to do now is just take off my microphone. I mean, just as a technical thing, really. So, I'm just going to take off the microphone and put it on a ledge here so that as I walk away, the sound fades into the distance. It's a sort of sound technique, and it will feel more like an ending. I mean, I'll come back and get the microphone afterwards, but that won't be on the podcast. Well, this is Alan Partridge returning to the Oast House. I do love the elements, but when I get home, I'm going to make myself a big beef burger and watch Thunderball. Goodbye.
Alan Partridge from the Oast House. Alan Partridge from the Oast House. From the Oast House. With Alan Partridge from the Oast House. With Alan Partridge. Alan Partridge from the Oast House. Alan Partridge from the Oast House. From the Oast House. Alan Partridge from the Oast House with Alan Partridge.
And there we have it, the sweet sound of me rambling. Well, rambling. And after that ramble, will you gamble? Will you pre-order or order the rest of the series on audible.co.uk, ready for its release on the 3rd of September? Will ya? I want you to. September.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this programme.